Very fired up to welcome in my pal from SNY. They got a big live draft show on SNY. You got to check it out, called The Putback. So a man who's breaking stories, a man who's very, very busy this time of the year. Now he's got to get it rolling with some draft stuff, some free agency stuff. Let's welcome in Ian Begley over at SNY. Ian, what's happening, bro? How we doing?
JJ, what's going on, man? How are you?
Ian, I'm doing fine. Let's start here. Putback, draft. Has this been like one of the more challenging draft processes to go through, considering no NCAA tournament? You have a year in which there's no real clear-cut number one pick. Does that complicate things for a guy like you?
There's no doubt. I mean, it complicates things for teams. It certainly complicates things for me because there's less clarity about everything. And then you throw in the idea with the Knicks, you know, they were at 3 last year. It was pretty easy to predict they were going to take R.J. Barrett. Now they're at 8. So much could happen in front of them. I think they're going to, you know, still consider all their options even leading up to tomorrow night. So it's certainly the lack of clarity from all teams on how to view a lot of these players has thrown a wrench into the process.
Ian, do you get the sense that for Leon Rose and company, it's a best player available type deal, or are they prioritizing an individual position?
Here's the thing. I think if they sit at 8, right, I think it's best player available. I think that there are, like, if Obi Toppin, if they felt maybe there was a deal that made sense, they could sneak up to get him, I think they would consider that. I think some people over there are high on Tyrese Haliburton, so maybe there's a deal to sneak up and grab him, or if he's there at 8, I could see him getting strong consideration. But I think if you're at 8, I think it is best player available. But that changes, though, JJ, if they do a Russell Westbrook trade, because then I think you're looking at wing, obviously more than point guard, because you have the point guard in place.
All right, let's get to Russell Westbrook. Ian, I want absolutely no part of him. I understand he is an all-world player throughout a good portion of his career. I thought he was a disaster last year with the Rockets. I thought his body broke down again. I think his jump shot is something that is as ugly as can be, and I don't think that's going to age with time.
Jamie, let me say this. The one challenge for the Knicks, right, and whether you're talking about Russell Westbrook or Chris Paul or whoever it is, no, I don't think anybody's going to come here alone. So you need somebody that's in your building that has the respect of players around the league, that has the ear of players around the league, that's going to tell these players, hey, the Knicks, they're doing it right. They're on a good path here, like that can help you sell your organization. So that's not a reason to trade for Russell Westbrook, but it's a factor that, you know, players, none of these young guys, I don't think, want to be the first guy in New York. So you need somebody here who's established, who's going to help sell your franchise in the direction you're going. That's why I think a move like Russell Westbrook makes sense. I think the contract's brutal. I think his style of play wouldn't hold up well over the life of this deal, but that's, I think, one factor that at least you have to talk about when you're talking about Westbrook and the Knicks.
Better fit for the Knicks, Westbrook or Freddie coming over from Toronto?
I mean, there's no question that it's VanVleet, right? But I think that my guess there is Toronto's going to come with a strong offer, and I don't think, at least from what I've heard the last couple of weeks, I can't see the Knicks going over the top enough with an offer to VanVleet where he would, you know, consider turning that Toronto offer down. That's my best guess. And also with the VanVleet market, you know, it's limited a little bit now because of the Chris Paul trade with Phoenix. Now Phoenix has a point guard, so they're not going to be in on VanVleet. So that's kind of how I see things sit with Fred. But in a vacuum, the Knicks side, Fred VanVleet, great guard, young guard, fits the timeline of the way you want to build with the young players. So certainly he'd be a better fit than Russell Westbrook. But if there are reasons why I think I would be surprised if Freddie ended up here.
All right, Ian, let's get to what is the story that is like moving and shaking in so many different ways. James Harden and the potential of coming to Brooklyn. It sure seems like James Harden wants out of Houston. He wants to come to Brooklyn. But being able to make that happen, that is the question. From what you're hearing around the league, how realistic is it that on opening night at the end of 2020, James Harden is wearing a Brooklyn Nets uniform?
I think it's, you know, here, if I'm guessing tonight, right, my best guess tonight is it doesn't go through because the best play for Houston is to slow play things to try to create more of a market than there is right now, and to try to extract as much as you can in a Harden trade and then in a Westbrook trade. So that's the logical way of thinking about it. But if the Nets decide, hey, we want to get the noise out of here, we want to get settled, we want to get this done and get everybody in place, they have to come with a really strong offer to force Houston to do that, I think. And I would assume, you know, based on how they operate, I can't see them doing that unless someone else forces their hand. So my assumption is we go to opening night and Harden is either sitting out or playing for Houston. But it's just, it's amazing that he has, in my mind, if this happens all behind closed doors, it would have happened much more smoothly. When it comes out that he wants Brooklyn and it's Brooklyn or bust, other teams are not going to be willing to give Houston what they'd want to bring in Harden who doesn't want to be there. So I think he hurt his own market by having it play out this way.
Ian, don't you get the sense that if you're a Caris LeVert, if you're a Spencer Dinwiddie, if you're one of the role players on the Nets that could be involved in that sort of potential trade, I think the worst thing that could happen to the Nets, who I think are one of the favorites to go to the NBA Finals this year, if Durant's right, if Irving's right, they're right there with anybody in the Eastern Conference. I wouldn't want this, though, looming over the team throughout the course of the year. Do you think that could have like a negative impact on a lot of those other guys in Brooklyn, maybe in some way just like waiting for that other shoe to drop?
That's such a good point, JJ. I mean, you saw it with the Lakers, with the Anthony Davis stuff before that trade went through. That was a mess. And you could see that, you know, that element being a factor here for Brooklyn. And if I'm Sean Marks and I'm Steve Nash, and I think that that's a possibility, maybe that causes me to be more aggressive to getting this thing done, because that's the last thing you want, right? Especially for a coach who's never been a head coach before. Kyrie, Kevin Durant never played before together, and you're under a microscope already, and then you add the elephant in the room with the potential James Harden trade. That is a really good point, and I wonder how that factors in. I do know that, you know, Harden's people called some of the Nets players, and I don't think they called the Nets players who would be involved in the deal, but they called some of the Nets players, and some of the players were in favor of the deal, but I did hear that support was not universal among the players who had been briefed on it. And so that's interesting, too, the idea that, you know, among the players who were reached out to, their support wasn't universal. So it tells you that, you know, what's going on over there now, the conversation is going on over there, it's going to really impact the way this thing goes for Steve Nash, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and the Nets, one way or the other.
Ian, if there's going to be a big name that's traded, let's take Westbrook out of it. He's a free. He might be on the move. We'll see. Harden, let's take him out of it. Somebody that hasn't gotten a whole lot of attention these last few days. Is there one name you're looking at?
You know, the name that I look at is Kyle Kuzma, and I don't think he's going to get dealt. But the reason I look at it is because I've heard, when we wrote this, that there's like a kind of a split opinion among Lakers people about the idea of giving him a big contract extension after this year. So, you know, he could then be a restricted free agent, and then you don't want to lose him for nothing. So that's why I keep an eye on Kyle Kuzma. I don't think the Lakers are going to trade him, but you talk about a guy who maybe has not, his name hasn't been out there a ton, that's where I go, just because of the contract situation.
Ian, final one, I appreciate the time. Draft night, when you guys are doing your thing on the putback, who's the pick for the New York Knicks? If you had to throw a name my way right now, assuming they stayed eight, assuming they have the pick that they're currently looking at, who do you think is the selection for Leon Rose and company?
So my question, JJ, to you is Obi Toppin there?
I hope he is, man. I'd love that. Sign me up right now if Obi Toppin's the pick. Because you know what, Ian? Without the NCAA tournament, that kid, I think, lost out on a lot of notoriety, and I thought he lost out on a whole lot of exposure. That's a guy, if he had a baller NCAA tournament and took, like, Dayton to the Final Four, I feel like, am I crazy in saying this, that his draft stock would be a lot higher?
I think you're 100% right. I mean, so many of these guys for better, or maybe for worse, but maybe for better in some cases because they got to hide. You know, the draft stock was impacted greatly by not being able to be on that national stage. I say Toppin because I think if he's there, I think they go that direction. I think, you know, as I said, Halliburton, I think, has fans over there. If he's there, you got strong consideration. The player that I wonder about, J.J., Carlos Jr., like, I think that would be, people think it would be a reach at eight, but he did well in his workout, I heard, and, you know, some teams see him as higher than Halliburton on their draft board. So it could surprise people and go Carlos Jr., but I think if Toppin's there, at least what I'm hearing right now, he would be the guy.
Ian Begley, SNY NBA insider extraordinaire. And Ian, where can we check out the show tomorrow night throughout the draft?
Yeah, so we're going live, JJ. We're actually going live during the day at noon. You can check us out on the SNY social media platforms. We'll be on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. And we're talking draft. It'll be, you know, 8 hours before we get going. There'll be plenty of rumors to talk about. But come check us out at noon tomorrow on those social media platforms for SNY. We're going to have some fun.
Ian, tremendous stuff, bro. Miss you. Keep up the good work. We'll do this again soon, hopefully with limited interruptions, okay?
JJ, look forward to it, my friend. Be well. I'll talk to you soon.
That's the great Ian Begley. Likes the idea of Westbrook a little bit more than I do. And not so sure that opening night, Harden is a member of the Brooklyn Nets.